Good morning, church. Good to be here, amen. Jesus is a risen Savior. He died. He was dead for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead. His post-resurrection ministry lasted 40 days. Mary saw him. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, going back home, met with him and spent some time with him. All of the disciples saw him on two separate occasions. Peter saw him on the Sea of Galilee. 1 Corinthians, it's recorded for us that 500 individuals saw him all at the same time. There's more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Caesar Augustus ever lived in Rome. Let me say that again. There's more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Caesar Augustus ever lived in Rome. After those 40 days, Jesus went with his disciples out of the city. He would have gone out the eastern gate. That gate is closed today. But he would have went out the eastern gate. They would have went down a little path. They would have come to the Kidron River. It's just really a creek. They would have crossed that river, and they would have gone back, started up the east side of the Mount of Olives. And on the lower east side of the Mount of Olives is a little town called Bethany. Bethany is significant because that's where Jesus went, met Mary and Martha, and raised Lazarus from the dead. As they approached Bethany, Jesus stopped. The disciples were there with him. And it was there, at Bethany, that the last great event in the life of Christ on earth took place. It's called the Ascension. There are many scriptures that allude to that ascension, and I want to share four of them with you today that help tell the story about the ascension of Christ. Acts 1:11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, an angel is speaking. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Amen? Luke 24:50-53. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and continually in the temple. They were praising and blessing God. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus, who has gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Hebrews 4:14-15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, not after Aaron, he was an earthly priest, after Melchizedek, he was a heavenly priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He's gone to heaven, folks. He's there in heaven now. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. These four passages give us insight into the purpose for this great event. They pose, I think, four questions for each of us. Number one, what did Jesus do just before he left? It's significant. It's important. The answer to that is found in Luke 24:50-51. Where did he go when he left? 1 Peter 3:22. What is he doing since he left? Hebrews 4:14-15. And fourthly, what are we to do? What are we to do in the light of his leaving? Luke 24:52-53. So let's answer those four questions. Amen? How many ever heard a sermon on the ascension? That's right, I didn't think I'd get a hand. I don't remember in the 44, 45 years I've been doing this that I've ever heard a sermon on the ascension. Ever. I've preached a couple, but I've never heard one. But the ascension is significant because if it did not happen, then all the things that are going to happen won't happen. Let me say that again. The ascension is significant because if it did not happen, all of the things that are going or supposed to happen will not or do not happen. And so let's look at the ascension this morning. Number one. Number one, what did Jesus do just before he left? Luke chapter 24, verses 50-51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Listen very carefully. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. He did two things that are significant in that verse. two important things. The first is, the Bible says, he lifted up his hands. The second thing it says he did is, as he lifted up his hands, he blessed them. Now, I think it's significant for us to think just for a moment about the fact who it was that was doing this. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, deity robed in humanity, the one who went to the cross and laid his hands out on the cross. The book of Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus rose from the dead with those marks still in his hands, with the wound still in his side, with the marks still in his feet. Evidence of his work on the cross. Evidence of his love for those who needed him most. Evidence that he was who he said he was. Evidence that he was not a pretender. He rose from the dead. Jesus stood there now with his disciples after 40 days of ministry with them, them seeing him, they touching him, them talking to him, them embracing him, them watching him. And he walked out to that mount and ascended into heaven for the glory of God. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says he raised those hands and blessed them. That's the greatest blessing in the world. These hands were significant. They weren't just anybody's hands. They were Jesus' hands. They were servant hands. They were the hands of the greatest servant that ever lived. He tenderly placed those hands on the children and blessed them. He broke 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And served the multitude with those hands. He washed the disciples' feet. In the supreme act of service. With those hands. These hands comforted the sorrowful. Ministered to the needy. They were servant hands. Everywhere Jesus went, he went to serve. Every time you watch Jesus in his ministry, he was working in the service of others. Jesus was involved in the lives of everyone around him, and everyone saw him, and everyone knew him. And whatever you thought of him, one thing you could not disregard is the fact that he was a servant. His hands were serving hands. Lest we forget who he was, they were omnipotent hands, all God's people said. Omnipotent is a great word. It means all power. It doesn't mean more power. It's all power. He doesn't have more power than us. He's all powerful. all power resides and subsides in the person of Christ. And so his hands were omnipotent hands. When the leper came, he touched him with his hands and delivered him instantaneously clean. Jesus looked at that leper, said, "I will, be thou clean." And he embraced him, and the Bible says he touched him. When the blind man came to Jesus, he bent down and picked up some mud and spit in it and wiped, put it in his eyes, and the man opened his eyes and could see. Those blessed hands touched the eyes of the blind man, and he saw for the first time. When the deaf came, or the dumb, the lame, or diseased, it was the touch of these hands that set them free. This was no just happenstance. This was just not another day in the life of. When Christ raised those hands, those disciples recognized instantaneously that something enormous, tremendous, was about to take place. I remind you that when he raised those hands, he was saying to his disciples, "I am yours, you are mine. You are my disciples." Even death could not escape the omnipotence of his hands. He walked by a bier, a coffin. In that coffin was a young lad, the wife of a woman. And Jesus simply reached over and touched the coffin. And that boy came back to life. Can you imagine? Then thirdly, they were wounded hands. Psalm 22 says they pierced his hands and his feet. Sometime when you have time, I would encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Psalm chapter 22 and read it slowly and reverently and see that here's a psalm written nearly 1,000 years before Christ went to the cross that tells the cross story, which, by the way, is impossible. But it's prophecy, and God did it. That day, as he raised his hands above the disciples, they looking up saw the wounds. Their minds went back 40 days to Calvary. He laid his hands down as they drove in the nails and fastened his body to the cross. His wounded hands, his sacrificial hands, his victorious hands are now raised over the head of the disciples to do something unique. The Bible says he raised his hands, and here's the second thing he did. He blessed them, all God's people said. Amen. This was a blessing, I think, of promise. He would love them. He would be with them. He promised to send the Comforter to indwell them. Amen? He had to go away. He said, if I go away, I will come again. In the 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, 16th chapter of the book of John, he describes the work of this Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would stand by them, would witness to them, would encourage them, would lift them up to do the work that he did, but now had to go back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit was left to indwell them and move them and work in them, just as he does today. So when Jesus lifted his hands and blessed them, he was promising them in essence that he was going to do everything he said he'd do. Do you realize that the disciples are the only generation that fulfilled Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? The only generation, 12 men, fulfilled Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. They spread the gospel to the known world in their lifetime. That is enormous. And let me suggest to you, they never would have done it had Jesus not blessed them, promised them, been with them, carried them, moved them. It would never have happened. The greatest missionary endeavor in the world took place. Now there are multiplied millions of Christians on the earth, and we haven't dented that. This was a blessing of promise. This was a blessing of commission. When missionaries are sent out from churches, they normally have what's called a commissioning service. I don't know if you've ever been to one. I've done several. But a commissioning service is, in essence, saying to the missionary, number one, we believe God's hand of call is on you. Number two, we believe that God is sending you out as our ambassador. Number three, we're asking God to use them and do for them what only God can do. And then we're promising them that we'll pray for them throughout their ministry, wherever they may be. Doesn't that sound like a commissioning service to you when Jesus raised his hand and blessed them? They had no idea. By the way, all but one of them died. Every one of them suffered persecution. Peter was crucified upside down. Some were thrust through with darts. Some were thrown from the pinnacle of the temple. These were men, not unlike us, that had stood in the presence of Christ and had watched him and seen him move in their midst, raise from the dead, and ascend into heaven. This was a blessing, I think, thirdly, of love. a love that transcends all other loves. The Bible doesn't say we love him. It says we love him because he first loved us. Secondly, second question, where did he go? Amen? Didn't go on a hunting trip. Didn't go to P.F. Chang's. I don't know why I said P.F. Chang's, but I love P.F. Chang's. Let's just go there. 1 Peter 3:22. The Bible says of Christ, who is gone into heaven. Where'd he go? He went to heaven. Notice our passage does not say who is gone. It doesn't stop at gone. Who is gone? Who is gone? Buddha is gone. Muhammad is gone. Confucius is gone. Christ is gone into heaven, all God's people said. He went straight home. He went back to the Father. He left heaven. The Bible says he came out of the ivory palaces. He came down the stairway of the stars, down through eternity into time, was born in a little village called Bethlehem. Took upon our flesh, did not cease to be God one second. Lived 33 and a half perfect years, fulfilled all righteousness. Went to the cross in obedience to the Father, paid our sin debt. 3 days later, rose from the dead. 40 days later, ascended to heaven and went back there, all God's people said. Amen. Where did he go? Went to heaven. Amen? Amen. Folks, this is not make-believe. This is just a story. This isn't Scientology. This isn't a better philosophic bent so that we can get through our difficulties in life. These are literal things that happened. Do you realize when Mel died, the moment he closed his eyes, he was in heaven? This is not make-believe. He's already met Christ. He may have discussed this passage with him. Jesus went to heaven. Thirdly, not only where did he go when he left, here's the third question: what is he doing since he left? All God's people said. Hebrews 4:15 gives us a hint. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. What did the high priest do here? He interceded for the people. He went into the Holy of Holies in the stead of the people, took the blood of the lamb that was slain, poured it on the altar and mercy seat, and interceded to God for the sins of the people, and God covered their sins for another year. Jesus went in once for all. And when he ascended, he went straight into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father now as our high priest and intercedes for us. Let me read you just a short verse found in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter, let me find it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that justifieth. That is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. All God's people said. Christ is interceding on our behalf. He's speaking to the Father for us. He's talking to the Father about us. You are important to him. You run into something, you're wondering, does God know? He's already talked to God about it. He's doing his work of intercession for the believers. Secondly, John 14, 1 through 3. Disciples were upset. Disciples were concerned. Disciples didn't understand what he meant, what he said. When he told them in chapter 12 and 13 he was going to be put to death. By 14 they are so upset, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Now listen to this. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, he's been doing this for 2,000 years. I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody build a house that took 2,000 years. There's a house out in California. It was 172 years in building it. You go upstairs, open a door, and there's nothing there. Straight drop off into the water. It's a nutty house. Jesus, the great architect, has been preparing a place for us for 2,000 years. Holy moly. I can't wrap my mind around that. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I love this part. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He not only interceding, he's preparing a place. But he's not only preparing a place, according to that verse and Acts 1:11, he's getting ready to come back to get us. This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come as like manner. Have you seen him go into heaven? He's coming back to get us. And there's a fourth thing. What's he doing? He's interceding, preparing a place. He's getting ready to come back. Here's the fourth thing. He's preparing, and I love this, he's preparing to reign. King of kings, Lord of lords. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He'll rule and reign someday in Jerusalem over his people, and we'll be there with him. I want to be mayor of Richmond. I do. Not so they can pat me on the back, but so that I can say, he's just over here. He's just right over here. You got a problem? He's right over here. It's going to be a perfect place. Then lastly, here's the last question. You go back to Luke chapter 24. What are we to do in light of his leaving? Here's what they did, the disciples. Verse 52 and 53. Makes good sense for us to do it. And they, number one, worshiped him. He had just gone to heaven, amen? And they worshiped him. Then the Bible says, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. All God's people said. And then it says, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Well, don't those things make sense for us? Jesus has ascended, folks. He's not in the grave. He's not buried somewhere in Israel. He walked out of the grave in his supernatural body. Spent 40 days here, seen of hundreds of people. Went to heaven. And as he's there now, waiting to come back and get us, preparing a place for us, interceding in our behalf, he'll come back and set up a kingdom. We should worship him. Thank him. Praise him. Honor him. Elevate him. Let us worship together. May our hearts be thankful. May we be grateful. May we say, thank you, Christ, for what you've done. We worship him. We are joyful in him. And we praise and bless his name until he comes again. Regardless of what the soothsayers say or the anti-religionists think or say, Jesus is alive and well. And he's coming back again. Man, I can't wait. I can't. He's going to come back. And Satan's not going to stub his toe when Jesus comes back. He's going to be crushed. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire. He'll be there for eternity. And we will serve him day and night, worship him, praise him, honor him, glorify him. And if we're going to do that for eternity, we might as well get ready now. Amen?
Amen.
Until Jesus comes. Lord, thank you for this wonderful little scripture about your ascension. Lord, may it mean more to us today than it did earlier because of all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Until you come again, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.